All right. Praise God. It's good to be here. I'm glad you're here. When they ask me to preach, it's like once every 3 years. It's nice to be able to do that. And in order to make sure I don't take a lot of your time and waste it, I got notes. Because otherwise, I'll chase rabbit trails all morning long. They read the passage from Exodus this morning. I don't know about you, when I hear that, my heart cringes. There's a part of me that goes, ugh, really? There's another part of me that goes, wow. I don't do that, Lord. I don't keep your commands. And then there's another part of me that goes, well, that's the Old Testament. God doesn't care about the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. Jesus died for us. He fulfilled the law. Let us go out and sin and break the law. There, that's what goes on inside of me. I don't know about you. I think that in the back of my mind and my soul. It's not a good thought. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wow. There's power up in this pulpit. All right. Gotta be careful, man. It's like dynamite. Man. You know, whenever I get time to come to the house of the Lord, I love coming to God. Boy, that's something. Boom, boom. Every word.
It's never have music before he got up. Jesus just spoke in the power of the Spirit, and his words were life. Every time we come to the house of God, though, I've always been like this, and I've always found it very strange that others are not like me, not everybody, but for me, when it's time to go to the house of God, there's just something in me that goes, I'm so glad. Oh, there's my little daughter, Rachel. Hey, Rachel. I'm just so glad to come into the house of God. I've always just wanted to do that when Sunday arrives. For me, it's just like, that's where I want to be. I know some folks don't find this a very nice place to be. And I don't know why. And I don't care where it is. I can go anywhere where God's people are. I want to be in there to hear the word of God. I want to be there to see God's people and to be with them because they're the people I'm going to be with for eternity. And it's for them that Christ died. And if Christ thought they were important to me, they're probably going to be important to me because I love Christ. And I love his people that he died for because he died for me and he died for them. And then to come in and sing his word and to be challenged by his word to my soul, which I need badly because I'm a sinner who needs to be cleansed by the word of God so that I can go out in newness of life to serve him is important to me and I like it. Not that I don't like all the preaching that goes on. Sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good, but that's just life. Some preachers are good, some preachers are bad. Both ways, right? Some preach good, but they're bad people, and some preach bad, and they're good people. You know, you just don't know. So you come and you get to hit and miss, but you can get the fellowship. And besides, you also get the fact that you're living the way God wants us to live as his people. King Solomon said, is there something wrong? Oh, okay. You okay? Okay. Brett is awesome, brother. I tell you what. You know, y'all got some great leadership here. Now, you really do. Don't clap. Clap for Jesus if you want to clap, okay? Don't clap for them. They're worthless sinners who are saved by the grace of God, who have no gifts whatsoever except for what God gives to his church, and he does it liberally to them, okay? So praise God. Yeah, praise God. All right? And you know what's good? Is they know it. I don't know if you've ever been in a preaching where the pastors or the leadership thinks they're something. That's a bad place to be. The kings of Israel had that issue. Some of the prophets had that issue. You see, we're all here because God makes us who we are,
And so we have nothing to be proud about. Anyway, King Solomon, who was in the end a very proud king. Is something wrong? All right, man. There we go. I told you it'd be different this morning. What was it they told? Elvis Presley just loved the mic. Loved the mic. King Solomon said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The prophet Micah said this, "What does the Lord require of you?" Do you remember what he said? "Practice justice, do mercy, and be humble before God." Unlike Job's friends who brought darkened counsel to their afflicted friend, I hope to bring you good counsel. Counsel from God's word. I don't take this lightly coming up here. I have fun with it, though. But I know that you're a sheep like me, and you're prone to wander. I know as you go out today and as you've been out last week that you've gotten injured, you've gotten beat up, you've got thorns in your side, you've gotten hurt. You've also had some good times. You got fed, obviously. You're all here and you're walking. Some of you have gotten broken. You've gotten injured in your soul, in your spirit, or your body. And you need restoration. And the only restoration that you need, truthfully, is from God. Because all of us are pilgrims. We're walking on this earth for a little time. All of you came in today, and you would have never entered into this place today. I know this for a fact. None of you would have ever come through those doors if you knew you were not going to leave outside that door. If you didn't know there was going to be a time that you'd be able to leave and go to lunch. If they had said, "We're going to lock all the doors, you're going to stay here for the rest of the week," no one would have came in. But just as you came here knowing you were going to leave, so are we in this life. We entered this world at no choice of our own, and we're going to leave this life at no choice of our own. We're going to come, and we're going to go. My question to you is, where are you going? What is your destination? The scripture says everyone is destined for hell because of their sin. And I want to talk about that. And that's why they read from the Ten Commandments out of chapter 20 of Exodus. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 5. That's going to be our text. Early when they read from the Ten Commandments, where Moses gives us an account of the presentation of the Ten Commandments to the Israelites at Mount Sinai, after leaving Egypt, those commandments became a part of their entire code of operation. God delivered the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. He himself delivered them. They didn't deliver themselves. God brings them to Mount Sinai, and then he says, "I brought you out of the land of Egypt to be my people." He didn't come to Egypt and say, "Would you like to leave?" He drug them out of Egypt. And they were happy to be drug out of Egypt at first. But once they started leaving Egypt, it wouldn't take long before they start complaining about being taken out of Egypt. And they'd start to rebel. And when they get to Mount Sinai, Moses comes down with these laws that are inscribed by the fingers of God himself. If you don't know it, Moses is the only person in Scripture that it is ever said of that he spoke to God face to face. No one ever has done that. And so he comes down with these tablets of stone, and inscribed by God's finger is how God wants them to live for him. You ever think about why did God give them those? I mean, he knew they were going to break them. So why did he give them those laws, those commandments? Well, they were his revealed will. It was what he wanted from them. Do we have slides? Do you have that slide on the Ten Commandments on there? Is it up there? Yeah, look at them. Look at the first one. Faithfulness, loyalty. I just want you to ask yourself, are you loyal to God? Are you faithful to God? And again, it may rub you wrong. You may look at that and go, well, yeah, well, what does that mean? And that's what the law does. It takes a sinner's heart and it says, sinner, you are sinful because you don't like it and you don't do it. Or are you more loyal to the football? You know, most men ain't here this morning because in the city of Winterset because they're watching football today. You do know that, right? And if they are if they're sinners, that's what sinners do, right? Think about it. Sinners sin, right? And so on the Sabbath, they're not going to be in the house of God with God's people because they don't love God and they don't love God's people. They might be in a stand. They might be sitting before the TV. Might be. But love and faithfulness and loyalty to God, that's a tough one. Because in my sinful self, I reject that unless something happened to me to restore my heart to what I ought to be. Look at the second one, no idols. Don't carve out idols. Worship God alone and also don't take no idols in your life. What's your idol? Where do you spend most of your time, money, your affections? What gets you the most upset and angry? What makes you mad or gets you anxious? What is it? Might be an idol behind there that makes you nervous. Maybe you need control. Maybe you need something else in your life other than God. Look at the third one. Reverence. Reverence. How many of you curse? I don't curse usually. In fact, I'd rarely cursed in my life. I've had a lot of officers and enlisted men who cursed. In fact, we went and watched the movie Midway the other day, and there was some pretty nasty cursing in it. And every time I hear it, I go, ah. But cursing don't bother me as much as profanity. And you should know the difference if you're a child of God. Profanity is using God's name. Using the name of Jesus or Christ or God. Law says don't do it because it's his name. You don't have any right to use God's name in a way that's inappropriate. Reverence to God. Sanctification, the fourth one. What we do today. We set ourselves aside. We set our day aside during the week. And we come to worship the Lord. I've had jobs where I couldn't be off on Sunday to go to worship. Have you? Yeah. But I found some other way to find fellowship in worship. Because I wanted to do that which I love to do. Keep the law of God. And we're going to talk about that. The first four, as you see, or in our relationship to God. See that? The last six, or our relationship to one another. Sanctity of life. Number six, don't murder. A lot of that goes on, right? Yesterday was the feast, day before yesterday was the feast of the Holy Innocents. In the tradition of the church. That's the day that the church would historically remember when Herod sent the soldiers out, the Roman soldiers, to slay the babies, boys, 2 years and young under, in Bethlehem because he was trying to slay Jesus. I want you to think about that. In Sunday school, we talked about that a little bit. What if Roman soldiers ran into this room right now and took every little boy in this entire congregation that was 2 years under and just broke them in half and then stabbed them? Would that make you happy? Would you go, oh, that's awesome. Look at that. You see, if it's our baby, then it's something. But if it's someone else's baby, it's no big deal, right? Right? There are thousands upon thousands of Christians today who will suffer. And before the end of the month, they will die for their faith. Do you care for your brothers and sisters? Or do you care more about your bank account? I'm just saying. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. Do you love Jesus and his church, or do you love Jesus and yourself? Do you love God the way the Ten Commandments calls us to? Respecting life. Don't murder. Of course, Jesus said if you hate your brother, you've murdered. Who do you hate today? I remember going through a terrible situation in my life one time, and I had great anger towards several people. And boy, I thought, let me go take out on them. And I remember putting a bat in the back of my car and rolling out to this gentleman's house, or his office rather, and I waited for him to come out. And I was going to beat the living you-know-what out of him. Thank God he never came out. And by an hour and a half later, I thought, I came to my senses and I said, I need to go home. Have you ever been caught up with that kind of anger? And you know what broke it for me? I remembered a scripture. The scripture, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And he said, Bill, that's not yours. If he did something to you, it's mine to take care of, not yours. You just do what you're supposed to do. Obey me. Because when you obey me, it shows that you love me. Look at a seventh one. Purity and security. Don't commit adultery. Man. I won't even take a survey today of how many of you have committed adultery. And Jesus said, even if you lust in your heart, you desire someone else other than the one through whom you're betrothed, it is adultery. It's unfaithfulness. Don't do it. Honesty, number eight. Be truthful. Don't slander. Don't gossip. Don't spread rumors. Man, that's all you hear in the news almost, right? I don't go into that. Okay, let's go. All right. Truthfulness, number nine. Okay? Truthfulness. And finally, number 10, contentment. Don't covet other people's things. Be content with what you have. Be content that God in his Son has died for your sin. And that you are here temporarily and you're going to go out the door eventually. And when you go out the door as a person of God, you're going to enter eternity into his presence and enjoy the benefits of a life eternal in a place where there's no suffering, no tears, no hurt, no pain. Ten Commandments. Now, while the people of Israel were never given a law that they couldn't break, right? Just like you and I. They found God to be faithful, to bless them when they obeyed his law, and found God to be their worst enemy when they disobeyed God. Isn't that true with your own parents? You know, your parents love you, man, if you're doing good. Taking care of your stuff, taking care of your things, taking care of your responsibilities, and then when you don't, right? It's normal. If you're a boss and you have employees, as long as your employees are doing everything right and not cheating and doing the job effectively, man, everything's kosher, good. Then if they don't, you find out they're stealing or they're not going to work or they're showing up late. Ah! We're all like that because that's the way we're supposed to be. It's the way things are. You see, all of us are designed to be living a life that is in obedience to God's law because God's law reveals his righteousness and it reveals when we practice it, we become holy because God is holy. And sometimes we forget that God wants his people to be holy. He enjoys us when we are holy people and the way that we're holy is to keep his law. But there's the deal. The only way you and I can keep his law is if we love his law, and the only way we can love his law is if we're born again. That's it. Otherwise, we despise this. Oh, don't get me wrong. You are just like me, probably. I go through these, and I think of everyone I know who doesn't keep them. I do. I think, man, Petra, Man, she needs to get that one right. Yeah. I think of politicians. What liars. Oh, my goodness, they're lying. But man, me? You know, Lord, you know I just sin because I'm just a sinner, and that's just the way it is. Listen to me, people. That's not the way it is. God is not pleased with our sin. He doesn't go, oh, look at that. They did another sin. Isn't that cute? That's so wonderful. They're sinners. They're just my people. They're just sinners. Do you know you never find that in the scripture? Do you know every time there's sin involved, that for the Israelites, they got punished and they suffered physically, spiritually, morally. Their whole nation suffered. Their neighbors suffered. Their children and grandchildren suffered. Everyone suffered. And if you notice today, there's a lot of suffering going on. Maybe you don't notice that. I do. In fact, it amazes me how many people today go to mental health professionals seeking help. I'm not saying it's not good to go to mental health professionals for help. Some of them can help. And some people need help from those type of professions. What I'm saying, though, the enormous numbers belie something deeper that's going on in our society and in the church, that so many folks need to go get mental health help. When I was a kid, it wasn't like that. So why has it changed? What changed? Did you know, I was looking at a University of Michigan study. 10 years ago, the number one health issue that money was spent on was heart conditions. Heart conditions. Second was cancer. Today, 2019, the number one amount of money for health care is spent in mental health. Did you know that? I didn't know that. It is just, boom, blown up. Thankfully for Brett, who's a vet, you know, you don't have to worry about that because cows don't need mental health, right? They're always going to need a vet. But thing is, everyone seems to be pouring out to mental health. What are they looking for? They're looking for help. But what caused the problems that they have? What causes problems that people think they need to go get help for their mental health? What the scripture says that all sickness and all of death is related to our sinfulness, right? It says the wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve, all they did in the Garden of Eden was one little sin, puny little sin. Little one. All they did was they went and grabbed a piece of fruit off of a tree. That's it. And all of us suffer sickness. The whole world lies in depravity. And we all die because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And the scripture says the reason you and I sin is because we're sinners. So when you look at your little baby and you go, oh, what a cute little sinner. Because that's what they are. Oh, they're a baby, but the only cute little baby that's ever lived ever was the one we just celebrated. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the son of Joseph and Mary. He was a cute little baby. Because he would redeem the world. But the rest of us, not so cute. Not even with nothing but our swaddling clothes. As Peter would say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And this is the gospel to you. Don't get me wrong when I talk about these things, because I know that some of you suffer in your hearts. You got this anxiety, some anger, some hurt. Something going on in your heart. Maybe you're on a roller coaster between faith and doubt. Your life may be in disturbance right now. And this is for all of you, whether you're Christian or not Christian, in this audience. I want you to know what the scripture says is that anything that we suffer inside our soul is the creation of our own sin. And so the real examination that needs to take place is, the real diagnosis that needs to take place is, what is the sin in your life that is bringing you your troubles? What is it? And some of you probably run away from folks who tell you what it is. You need to take care of this. You need to quit doing this. You need to stop this. And you reject it because you want no part of giving up that which you hold more precious than your own life, your sin. Now, what is sin? Let's clarify, okay? It's not what I say it is. If I could say what sin is, I can tell you right now there wouldn't be any, okay? I would say, I don't know. Let's say there's no sin, because you see, when I was in college, the number one thing, and if you'd asked anybody in high school about me before I got to college, they would say, if you say, well, what kind of person is Bill? Well, actually, they'd say Willie, because they called me Willie then. They'd say, what kind of person was Willie? And they'd say, well, he's a good guy. He was a good guy, good religious guy. Go to church. That's what they say. They'd say, man, you can trust him for anything. But when I got to college, my professors would just, they were telling me, man, the whole idea about God is so false. The only reason there's a God is because people created in order to control people. And I thought, no. How come my dad didn't tell me that? Oh, that's right. He didn't have a PhD. Well, how come my mama didn't tell me that? My goodness, religion just makes this up. So I'd go home and argue with my dad. And I remember it came down to one issue, and the issue was sin. And I remember looking at my dad and I said, let me tell you something, Dad, okay? Who voted for God and gave him the right to say sin and what it is? I mean, I never voted. And I don't think anybody else did. I mean, who voted for God, first of all? And second of all, who gave him the right to make the laws and calling something sin? Come on. Really? Were you there? Oh, I struggled with that. And of course, fortunately for me, my dad, in his kindness and mercy, didn't beat me up and slap me or anything like that. He probably wanted to, because I think I would. Because I was just arrogant. And I knew it all. And I remember going back and forth debating these things between my professors and my father. And my father would always pull the word of God out and say, but God says this. But you don't understand. I didn't vote for God. Okay? So it doesn't count. It doesn't count. Jeremiah says it this way. The heart is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? So what is sin? The scripture says, everyone who sins breaks the law. 1 John 3:4. So sin is lawlessness. Have y'all seen all the pictures on TV and everything of this group, the anarchists, right? Mostly up in the Seattle area, but they're all over the place. And their thing is the Antifa group, and therefore the overthrowing of all authority. That's what they want to do. They just want to get rid of all authority. Now, in their case, they want to get rid of all human authority. And, of course, you and I, if we read the scriptures, we know that human authority has authority only because God gives them authority, and that God actually establishes those authority to be an authority over us. And he gives his parents to have authority over our children. So God is the first authority. He establishes those over us, government, to have authority, and then he establishes parents to have authority because God's all about authority. And the Antifa groups, and those that are anarchists, they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. Now, that's illogical, of course, because the very thing they're saying is the very thing they're establishing. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Therefore, I'm telling you, the anarchists, what I want and what's going to happen. I'm telling you what we're going to do, right? And so if I come to take your stuff, you can't tell me no, because I say there's no authority. Well, wait, then if there's no authority, you have no authority. So why am I listening to you? Duh, I don't know. Because you don't know. You're dumb. Okay? No authority. God says he is the authority, and the reason is because he made us. He made all things. He made everything. Everything we have is not ours, it's his. That's when you look at the one about thou shalt not steal. Well, there's two part. There's two folds to that, right? It's I don't steal from someone else because it's theirs. God gave it to them. He didn't give it to me, so I know that. But also they don't steal from me. And also what I have that God gave to me, I need to use to further his kingdom and to demonstrate his love to those by acts of mercy. And so those that don't have and I have, I give to them what I have because God gave it to me. The law is good, Paul says. It is pure. It's holy. It is something that given to us to let us know how it is that we live holy lives in a wicked world. The world hates these things. They're probably not up there anymore, right? I didn't think so. Okay. Jesus said this. Listen to this. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, what was the will that Jesus wanted to do? What was his meat to do? His will. What was the will of God? Even in his prayer, if you remember, the Lord's Prayer, a part of that is, Jesus said, when you pray, Christian, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. You think there's stealing in heaven? You think there's adultery in heaven? You think people are worshiping idols in heaven? You think they're not celebrating the Sabbath in heaven? You think they're like lying in heaven and slandering? Which one of the Ten Commandments would you get rid of and say, oh, that's not a real, we don't need to do that? Hopefully none of them. It's amazing, you know, if you do a study of this country. The country was established on the roots of the Ten Commandments. You go to the House of Representatives in the Capitol. We went and visited there a couple years ago when we lived around that area. And you go in there and you sit in the speaker's seat, right? The speaker's seat, which is Senator Pelosi's seat. When she looks across all the seats on the wall directly across from her is a picture. And it has Moses with the Ten Commandments in his hands. What's that telling her? Whose law is number one? His law, the law of God. And when we displace that and we say, well, it's not important, we lie. Look at the passage for today. If you can get it up there, Matthew. Look what Jesus said. He said, let me find it. That's why I don't like using notes. Fly around the Bible faster. Matthew 5:14. Let me just grab my Bible here. Everybody's okay? Ready to leave? You're ready to leave. Listen. Jesus said this. Jesus did. I don't say it, okay, people? I'm not telling you this. He's saying it. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Mm-mm. I didn't come to do that. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To keep the law and to keep the fulfillment of what the prophets said would happen when I came. I would come as the Messiah to deliver my people from their sins. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot nor one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others so to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, they shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, all of us, most of us, some of us, a few of us, want to achieve something of greatness in some way in our life. Maybe it's to get a degree. Maybe it's to develop the perfect recipe. Maybe it's to become very fit. We have different things all of us do that we really just want to become really good at. I want everybody to know me as that person that's really good at that, you know? Have you ever thought about just being good at living righteously? About pursuing righteousness? About encouraging one another to righteousness and doing what God wants you to do? Being holy? Lord God, teach me thy law, was the cry of David, that I may not sin against you. How about just living for God and finding joy in that? Now listen again, Christian and non-Christian, this is for both of us. I often hear people say, you know, the scripture is really only for God's people, but that's not true. God rules the whole earth. There's nothing that's outside his purview. He is the supreme king. From a military point of stance, he is the supreme commander. I guess I take a different view than many because it's just my experience in the military. But when you receive an order, you don't go, well, do we really have to do that? What, did he really mean it? Now, we do have this. Well, I think he meant this, which is a big mistake. When they give an order, the order is giving for us to do it because it is an order and our responsibility is to obey. That's a terrible word. Don't you despise that word, obey? But that's what I'm supposed to do as a military person, obey. And that brings order and discipline in the ranks because we know when something is given as a directive, it's going to be carried out, and we all know what we must do together. So God gives his law to his people, the people of God, and he says, obey. And if we do it according to what Paul teaches us, according to what Jesus teaches us, we will be and have good discipline and good order within the kingdom of God. And there'll be peace in the land because justice will reign because the laws are good. You see, if I don't steal, do you benefit? Yeah. There's peace. You ain't chasing me down. You ain't having to call 911. If I don't commit adultery with your wife, are you well? Are your kids better off? Of course. There's peace in the community because we're doing the things that we're made to do in the order of the way God designed life to be. And so it is. I want you to think about this. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why did he say that? Because that's what Jesus did. How many of you had one of those WWJD bracelets? What would Jesus do? Remember that? Yeah. Maybe some of you didn't carry that around. Man, I wrapped that sucker on my wrist. What would Jesus do? And I took it off real quick after a couple days. Because you know what Jesus would do? Not even what he would do, what he did do. Jesus kept the law of God. He never, ever broke it. Ever. Never. He kept it perfectly. So whenever someone comes up to me and says, I just want to live like Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. Do you keep the law? You know what the normal answer is now these days? Well, not that way. Well, what do you mean? Jesus kept the law. So if we're his bridegroom, wasn't that an awesome song? Preparing for the groom? Ready for the groom? I mean, if we're preparing for him, aren't we living like him? But again, what's the catch-all? If we're sinners, how do we do that? How do we live for God when we're so unholy? This is what the Apostle John says. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Brother and sister, what if you don't know God, but you're playing games with God? I don't say that in judgment or ridicule. I'm just saying, what if that's what's going on with you, that you really don't know God, and the evidence is, here's the evidence. You don't love God's people. You don't love his law. You don't love his kingdom. You really don't. You don't have a deep affection for those things. But you do love yourself. You do love to do what you want to do. And you love everybody else but the people of God. Well, the scripture says, that's a sign that my heart's never been changed. Because when the heart becomes changed, it becomes like Jesus' heart, and it becomes affectionately in love with the God who gives us his law so that we be his people. John goes on, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That's the love of God. When I keep his commands, that's demonstrating the love of God. Because I'm not committing adultery with my neighbor. I'm not lying to my neighbor. I'm not slandering them. I'm not angry at them and saying, oh my goodness, I didn't do what I told them to do. But I love God, and so I love my neighbor. And I give to them what I want from God and what I receive from God. His grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. All because he was kind enough to give me his revealed will in his word. This is the way you live. It becomes, like Paul says, a schoolmaster, a mirror, if you would. And I look at the law and I go, I'm a sinner. And then God says, correct, check. Now here's the cross. There's a savior. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. Sinner, savior. I want a savior because that is tearing me up. And I embrace the cross. And when I embrace the cross and I place my faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave me the law, then all of a sudden he changes my heart. And now I look back to the law and I go, oh, that is so beautiful. I love the law of God. It is so awesome. Oh, it's so good and pure. God, help me to keep your law. But it doesn't go this way. The law of God, I'll keep it. How come I keep breaking it? I'll make some new rules. That's what I do. Can't do it. I hate the law. Pooey on law. Don't like law. I like grace. Grace. Wait. Grace comes to those who recognize the goodness of the law. Because without the law, we wouldn't look to the grace of Christ. This one comes first, this one comes second, and this one brings us back to his holiness and how to live for him as a godly people. So we need the law to know about the mercy of Christ. Now think about it. Christ lived perfectly by keeping the law. So should you and I keep the law? I hope you come to the conclusion that yes, you should keep the law. It's good. Why not keep it? What, is it good to commit adultery? Is it good to lie? Is it good to slander and steal? Is it good to not worship God alone? Is it good to set up idols? Of course not. And so it becomes a passion for us to live out the law, knowing full well, though, brothers and sisters, that you and I cannot live out the law until we've been born again by Christ. Become a Christian and then walk in the Spirit. Now, how does that work? How do we walk in the Spirit? A part of that is what you did today. There's a day, I'm fully convinced, that this congregation, if you're a member of this congregation, there's a day in the future, it'll be 10 years or more, but you will look back at your days at Redeemer, and you will go, those were the best days of my life. I can't find a place where it's like that. I tell you, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, by God's grace, I've been in a lot of churches. I've traveled all over the world, and I've been in many places. And there are certain congregations that you come into, and you just go and you go, whoa. And the single reason is always having to do with the faithful preaching of God's word. Because the shepherds are not afraid of man, but they fear God. You see, one of the things you get from Moses and the people, if you remember when he comes down from the mountain and he brings the tablets down, they say, oh my, look, you go back up there, Moses. We don't want to see God. Oh, they saw the law. And they saw the clouds and the darkness. They were scared because of their sinfulness. And because God is awesome. I've often heard people say, why would you fear God? When they tell me that, I already know one thing. They don't know God. Who would you fear other than God in this life? Name me one thing that you ought to fear and that you do fear that you ought not to fear more than God. God is the almighty creator of everything. Do you realize that every one of us is going to stand before him and give an account of ourselves? What do you do then? This is what will happen.
We'll all become Muslims.
We'll be looking for a prayer cloth. Listen, ain't none of us going to stand there and go, hey, aren't you glad I'm here, Lord? Hey, man, been waiting for me, right? Hey, any great? Five. That ain't going to go on, brothers and sisters. We're gonna go on our face before his throne because he is holy and we were not. Because we failed him, we rejected him, we despised him. And we didn't do what he did for us. He died for us. He said, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. And we go, it's too hard to do all that. It's not hard when you love Jesus. You know, I've changed a lot of diapers. We've had many children. And when you change diapers, you don't change diapers going, oh, gosh, I love doing this. This is so good. Oh, oh, I love that. Oh, little baby, nice diaper. Oh, come smell the diaper, kids. Come here. Oh, it's a soap. We don't do that. Right? But you do it because you love the child. And you want your child to be clean. And so despite the nastiness, you change the diaper. God loves us. But he doesn't love us because we don't stink or we're not evil. He loves us because he is God and he has shed his blood for us because he wanted to possess us and become our God and we his people. And by being his people, then we reflect his glory in the way we live. The church is ineffective to the Lord, the world, because we live so much like the world. The world cannot distinguish between us and them. Because we love money, we love our lust, we love everything but God. And they see that and they say, hypocrite. And we wonder why the light has dimmered and our salt has become unflavorable to the world. It's because we don't live for God. We no longer love God for him. We love God for what we get out of God. And brothers and sisters, that's not good. God is not happy with that. Whenever I bring a message like this, I want you to know it speaks largely to myself because my soul needs this more than yours. But the world as a whole rejects both God's diagnosis and his cure. If you can tell, I'm reading from my transcript. Many of us drink out of the wrong well of truth, so polluting and corrupting our ability to discern between truth and lie. Thus, the medicine we all need it, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we miss, we avoid, or we evade. Exchanging him for the artificial sweeteners and drugs of a world that lies in spiritual darkness. Christ is the peace and the health you and I require and must have to truly thrive and live. God is your only contentment and satisfaction, brothers and sisters. You're not going to find it in your spouse. You're not going to find it in your neighbor. You're not going to find it in victories. You're not going to find it in failures. You're not going to find it in business. You're not going to find it in the money you have. You're not going to find it in a friend. You're not going to find any of these things except in Christ. And so if you're walking around with your mouth and your face soured and your soul soured by life, I'm telling you, this is the bottom line. You've probably got sin in your life and it needs to be rectified. Because if you know God and you know his son and you're filled with His Spirit, there's nothing else that you're going to want or live for. And you find everything else just fluff. Oh, I got a car. That's awesome. I got a place to live. That's cool. But oh, I love God. That will be your contentment, is knowing Him and being a part of His family. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge, is what the scripture tells us about creation. God reveals Himself to us three ways. Through His creation, Romans, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, lawlessness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain for them. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen. When you look at the stars, you just go, God, being understood from what has been made, so what people are without excuse. On one night, I'm coming home from McDonald's on my bicycle. I'm in my third year of college. There is no sin. There is, God has no right. I didn't vote for Him. And I'm riding home, and I'm looking at the stars. My dad is preaching to me the gospel and doing my life. And all of a sudden, I pull my bicycle over. There's a field across the street from my house where I lived. We lived in the country. I go into the field. I look at the stars, and something dropped me to my knees and to my face in that field. And I cried out to God, I am sorry for my sin. Think about that. That's amazing. Just an hour before, I'm denying that there is any such thing as sin. And now I drop to my face, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. I am unworthy of You. And it was like somebody went into my body and just took everything nasty out of it. And I was clean. I stayed there for about 35, 45 minutes, just worshiping God. I got up, got on my bicycle, went back to my house. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. Never told anybody what happened. But God changed my heart. I was born again. God saved me. God will save you. But you got to do what you got to do. You got to repent and turn away from your sin. Your sin is keeping you from God. Why are you letting it do that? Reject your sin. Acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. Confess to Him and agree with Him that Jesus Christ is what you need, because He is the Son who died for your sin, the godly for the ungodly. And He too will save you from your sin and your wickedness. And brother and sister in Christ, if you're a Christian, you may need to think about repenting yourself and turning from your own personal sins and turning back to the God who has favored you with such grace and mercy. And with that, I leave you to the Almighty God. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we love You. Oh, but we don't love You like You love us. And we love You because You do love us. Holy God, I pray by Your Spirit, bring salvation to those that listen and that hear and that turn to You. Hear their prayers that they may find in You, Lord, what is only found in You alone: hope, goodness, grace, love, mercy, compassion, patience. I pray, God, that this day as we go forth, that what is pleasing to You is done in our lives, in our lips, by our actions, that, Lord, the world that You have made will come to its own repentance and turn to You, the only Maker and God of all things. And this we pray in Your holy, precious name of Your own Son. Amen. You are dismissed. Go and serve God in joyfulness.